You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. It is a Tuesday edition. Killer Bees, ESPN. Taco Tuesday edition. I am kind of hungry. Brian, do you mind running downstairs, getting us some tacos?
We want an extended break here?
We don't need a break.
I mean, if you buy, I'll fly.
He's basically saying we don't need you for this. We can handle it.
We can handle it. You don't like looking stuff up for us anyways.
I'll look up some tacos if you're buying.
Oh, that you'll look up.
That place that downstairs means, has obviously. The $5 special.
That's true. True. I didn't get it today. I usually do, but not today.
You get it every Tuesday?
I said usually, not every Tuesday.
Sounds good. I'm a little hungry. Busy show. Kelly Eco is going to join us. 3:30?
Yep.
3:30, Kelly Eco. Has been all over the Rockets. Been all over NBA free agency. NBA free agency has been nuts. We're going to talk about that in moments. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. It's kind of becoming our thing. We just don't get to it on Mondays. There's just so much to talk about over the weekend. We don't get to Mailbag Monday. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitter, ESPN 975, Blankers Pac-Man Joel on Twitter, Brian Sack by BMAC, TikTok as well, ESPN 975. I'm at Jeremy J. Brian. I'm there. I'm looking at the YouTube chat here, Brian, and Blankers, I don't know if you know the answer to this. You might just be looking at it for the first time, too. What are these crowns in our YouTube chat?
Yep. No idea.
It's like Kyle Tucker made an appearance, and Everybody's wearing a crown.
No, Paul's got crown number one. I was like, did he probably anointed himself something? But other than that, how did that happen?
Who? Ask the boss. Ask the boss.
Who's the boss in this instance?
I mean, we know who our boss is. We know who our master is. Let me ask Joe? We know who we answer
to. I don't want to ask Joe.
We answer to the suits upstairs.
Those suits. Okay.
We answer to the suits upstairs. What's the deal with this? What's up with crowns? And YouTube, whatever. All right, 713-780-ESPN, busy show. So yesterday we talked about DFS, which I don't like the nickname, DFS. I think of DFS as Daily Fantasy Sports.
Same.
Not Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't like this DFS thing.
Teammates call him Doe.
Let's go with Doe.
Doe's kind of...
Let's go with Doe. Did you ever watch... What was the show with Topanga?
Boy Meets World.
Wasn't their principal name Feeney? And they were like, Feeney.
Principal Feeney.
Didn't they have like a weird way of saying his name?
I don't remember that detail. I just remember there was an episode where Big Van Vader was on it. That's all I really remember.
I remember Topanga. Well,
that too.
Well, the Matthews kid or whatever, he would call the Mr. Feeney. He would say it in a weird way. We might have to use that as a sound drop. I'll look at it.
Have Brian look it up.
Yeah, Brian, look it up. But DFS isn't going to work for me. Sorry. Sorry, Dorian. DFS ain't going to play around here. That's Daily Fantasy Sports for those in the know. But anyways, we talked about that yesterday, signing of DFS, of Doe. We like the signing. Good defensive player. Going to come off your bench. Going to hit some threes. Still haven't seen the... that fourth year, there's some thought that it could be a team option. There's some thought that it could be a mutual option. That would be awesome. Like, maybe you don't have to guarantee money in that fourth year. Because I think the fourth year is my only, I'm not going to even say hang up. It's my only, like, negative thought about the contract that in its whole I do like. And then I get home yesterday, and the Rockets have signed Clint Capella? What? Roughly a $7 million a year deal for 3 years, 21 and change for three seasons. What? What's going on there?
Like, that one was the one where you and I, late in the show, when we were talking about all this, and I was like, well, you know, we were working on the 9 and 10 man rotation, who's in, who's out, who's probably going. And then I just kind of casually threw in there, oh, by the way, Ime would like it if he could get like a Robert Williams type, but on the cheap, another big that can, you know, run the floor and protect the rim, but I wouldn't think it would be nothing too spendy. And then you go and you get him on a steal of a deal, too. But you talk about the ideal type Robert Williams type guy for an Adoka system if you're not going to get Robert Williams. a guy that you can throw the alley-oop to, a guy that can block shots, a guy that can rebound. He's been in Houston before, and he seems to fit exactly what Udoka likes in terms of having one big wing-typed center that can do a lot of the dirty work. And we were talking about Steven Adams not going to play every game. He's probably going to sit a lot of back-to-backs. What a perfect fit. And then I just started going, okay, but how's it going to work financially?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going to figure that out. Like, sure. I saw a bunch of the stuff on the internet. Like, well, Kelly Eco was reporting this, like, today that they're working on a way to get Cam Whitmore off this team. It's going to be a sign and trade. Like, all these deals happen, and then you hear about, you know, a million trades in a week. Oh, okay, that's how they figured it all out. It is, like, the addition of Capella is kind of curious. And I saw some scuttlebutt on the internet, too. Like, this means they're going to trade for Giannis. I don't think so. Now, they've positioned themselves where they could trade for Giannis in case Giannis wants to be traded. But I don't think that that's forthcoming. I don't think that that's something that is on the horizon anytime soon. Maybe middle of the year or something like that if things go bad in Milwaukee. But apparently, he's orchestrating all these moves in Milwaukee, too, where they bring in the big man because he wants to play with them. They get rid of Dame because he didn't want Dame around because he wanted to play with the other guy. So I think Giannis is staying put for now. Now, Rockets are positioning themselves where they could be a team that strikes in case the Giannis thing flames up again. I think this is simply trying to manage minutes of Steven Adams. I think it's, to your point, wanting a rim-protecting big, having the option of having a rim-protecting big, a guy who's a lob threat as well, which Clint Capella is, like, really the last lob threat since Clint Capella. I think it's more depth in center number three, and also probably gives you a little bit of an idea that Ime Udoka wants to play the double big quite a bit. I don't think it's a precursor of something more magnificent or grand. I think it's simply for those things.
Yeah, I think, and I tweeted out, look for Cam to be moved and Jock to either be waived or moved to some degree. I think those two guys are out.
Yeah.
And they might, I think they might make one more move. And, you know, because we talked about Tari possibly being that guy, and I think it's probably too soon on that, but I think that...
I push back on the Tari thing.
I know you do.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he'll be traded.
But I put Tari question mark as if maybe that's a possibility, but I think the more likely case right now would be who they brought him in from... He went to Arkansas.
Williams?
No, Jayshon Tate. Jayshon Tate could be a guy that they could move.
They just signed him.
But he wants to play. And if he's not going to have any minutes, that they could move him to a place where Miami has liked him forever. He could be a guy that could find minutes on another team that I think they could possibly find a home for. But it's only if he's happy here and content, that look, then your bench is that much deeper and you're good.
Didn't he tell you he was happy and content by agreeing to he's a $3 million one-year deal?
But I think, okay. Well, you know, I talked to enough people that realize that, you know, he still wants to play. He likes it here. But if there's an opportunity for him to get into somebody's rotation and play minutes, I think that would be attractive to him.
Then why would he agree to a contract extension?
Because at the time that he agreed to the contract extension, none of these moves were taking place. He didn't know what the roster was going to look like this season coming up.
He knew Durant was a Rocket.
But at the same time, I think he has, whether it be, you know, grandiose expectations or ideas, but he would like to be in someone's rotation. So he very well might be on this roster. He also could find a home somewhere where he could play.
Yeah, I'll push back on that. Like, I mean, we can agree to disagree. But like, if I want to play, like I'm not signing I don't think that I can do it in Houston. I'm not signing a 1-year deal with that team.
But if it was with the idea that I could prove myself to get more in the right circumstances, then that's a possibility, because at the time there was a chance that a lot of these guys that are still currently on the roster weren't going to be on the roster if the rumors were going to come true about how big of a deal it might have taken to get Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, agree to disagree. I don't think that's,
I think the bigger point is I think Ime really likes working the double big lineup, regardless if it's just Steve and Şengün. I think it's the fact that he could do it with a multitude of players now, and that he could create havoc for other teams in this league. Yeah, in the regular season, but the potential to be able to do it with multiple guys in the playoffs where it could be something more of a significant role in how they play basketball, I think he loves that.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he's your Jock replacement. Like, he's your third center. He's behind Alpi. He's behind Steven Adams. I don't think it's anything more grandiose than that. It is, like, the fascination, though, whenever Clint Capella signed was, like, the Rockets just won the lottery. And, like, I like what they've done this season. But, like, they got Capella back, and it's like, oh, yeah, the Rockets are all in. The Rockets mean business. This roster is loaded. I like Clint Capella, too, but the reaction for the third center on this team was pretty high. Was very high in enthusiasm around town. down.
Rockets fans were coming out of their seats in droves to be super excited. This isn't Clint Capela of the past, but also this is a Clint Capela that I think could start for a lot of teams in this league. So I think because of the fact that Steven Adams isn't going to get a massive workload during the regular season, I think this is an ample opportunity for him to sit still as the third center, as you mentioned, still see significant minutes on the floor because he's going to fill in a lot when Steven Adams is out, and there's going to be specific lineups where Ime wants to use him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. It's just it's a deep team. It is a deep – now, it does position themselves if a star becomes available and they're not terribly happy with Alpi. Not saying it's going to happen. They do position themselves like, okay, you have Alpi. You have all these draft picks. They're still positioned. They still have a treasure trove of draft picks too. Do you think that the Rockets are done?
I think for now, I think that they're – like I said, the minor moves we were just talking about, I think Cam's going to probably have a new home here in the next 24 to 48. I don't want them to give him away, but I think that if you can get future draft capital for Cam, that's a good thing. I don't think that they're going to do anything significant. Now, they might add a shooter somehow, some way, still, as we talked about yesterday, just as a guy, again, situationally, like they're going to use Capela, you could find a guy that situationally could come in and give you some three-point shooting that I think that they still might explore, but it also depends on how much money they can free up here. The Capela now, I guess, is going to be roped into the Durant deal when all is signed, and they're going to give up an extra future second so that it becomes part of a trade. But it'll be interesting to see how they get creative to do this. But if they can free up just a little bit more space one way or another or make like a minor trade, I think they'd like to add a shooter.
Yeah, I could see that. Like we mentioned yesterday, like an emergency shooter, mm-hmm. deep in the bench shooter, situational shooter, something like that. I mean, I thought that they were done yesterday after Dorian Finney-Smith, and then they signed Capela by the time I get home. So I'm not going to put anything by Rafael Stone. Now, they just don't really have the flexibility anymore. The salary cap's gone. You mentioned some of the finagling, however you say that word, that they're going to have to do to get under the cap or just slightly over the cap, be in the first apron. I never really worry about the finances. Like, they have agreed to terms with Clint Capela. They'll figure out a way to do whatever. It does, like, just based on Kelly's reporting, it does feel like Cam's going to be gone, whether it's for salary purposes, whether there's just not space for him. It doesn't look like it's going to be much. Like, you're selling Cam Whitmore on pennies on the dollar. You're selling him at pretty low value. I'd be stunned if you got anything back that makes you excited. Like, I think it's probably a couple of second round picks. Like, mm-hmm. It feels like that's what it's going to be at this point for Cam Whitmore.
I think, yeah, I think that if they would love to ideally get a team to give up where it might be the equivalent of a late first. I know the Lakers were interested. Denver's interested. Chicago's interested. Chicago's the only one of those three teams where I would say, well, there's a pick that you could get a first round from Chicago that would mean something. I just don't think they're going to part with that for Cam Whitmore because I think that they know right now that he is the odd man out and everything that happened last year that the Rockets didn't really intend to bring him back. So they're not going to pay more than they have to get a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is a move for a shooter to be out there where you could give up very little and you could get a guy. There's Hauser in Boston that they say still could be available. There's some guys on the end of some benches and some guys floating out there. You might be able to get on the cheap because they want to play with a chance to win.
All right. Any concerns about the way this roster is being built? There's a few Twitchers that have some concerns about the way that this roster is being built. Do you have concerns about the way this roster is being built? I think Rafael Stone's putting on a masterclass this offseason. It has been a wild and crazy first 48 hour. You ever watch that show, First 48? Mm-hmm. I see it every now and then in a hotel. I've seen it like three or four times. It is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But the first 48 of NBA free agency, too, has been a bit wacky. Kelly Eco joins us at 3:30. We got a mailbag Monday to get to on a Tuesday as well. And Brian's going to bring us tacos a little bit later in the show. 713-780-ESPN. Don't interrupt me, Brian. Don't turn on your mic. Don't talk while the talent is talking. 713-780-3.
I won't.
Shut up and get us tacos. I won't.
I got aggressive.
713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN975. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. Brian has a user-generated name. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by B-Mac. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN975, ESPN925.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. Todd, the show, when does Shingun get traded? Ocho, their defensive potential is off the charts, but they still lack dudes who can create off the dribble other than KD. I think it's a valid point. Other than KD, they really do lack guys who can create their own shot.
Yeah, I mean...
the men could create his own shot. Yeah, I don't know if you want him shooting volume, but he can create his own shot.
He can create his own layup.
He had that nice little pull-up game in the paint during the playoffs. He's it's limited, but it was effective.
Okay. That's probably second. You're right.
He's been working on his mid-range. He's decent from the elbow, but he's in no way, shape, or form a guy that can pull up and you want to trust, you know, off the dribble, pulling up and get. Now he can get
not
to the
a
basket.
Lot, no.
Yeah.
And I think Dorian Finney-Smith, those days passed him by a long time ago. I mean, he is who he is. He's a stockier built guy that is physical, that can hit the three ball, but he's not going to put it on the floor and try and go by people.
No, other than Kevin Durant, it's like ball movement. Like Alpi, you go do something in the low post, and then we are dismissing Alpi here. Like Alpi's low post game is good.
Well, it's great,
like let's not ignore that. Alpi Şengün's low post game last year was their best offensive whatever. Offensive set, their best way to score, however you wanted to describe it. I would take that over Jalen Green getting the ball, even though Jalen Green was your best scorer. So, I mean, your scoring options on this team, Kevin Durant, Alpi Şengün in the low post, getting looks based off of those two guys, Amin Thompson attacking the rim or getting to his little 10-foot jumper or whatever. And that's kind of it, other than like development of Reed Sheppard. But no, I think that this offense does, or these offensive players do, lack the ability to beat somebody off the dribble other than Durant.
Yeah, I think their main focus, kind of piggybacking on that without singling out being a specific player, is just to play fast. Play fast, play up tempo, get as many points as you can, easy baskets off the break. They're going to try and get live ball turnovers and or just get up the court as fast as they can and then let their young players with athleticism kind of get to the basket and or Kevin Durant, who has extended range out way past the three-point line, to just get in a spot where he can get his. And like you said, and you can dump it down to Alpi and put him on the post, and he can pretty much get a lot of what he wants down low, and they'll play a lot of two-man game.
Richard on YouTube, J-Bone, is B-Mac still interrupting you? Yeah, can you believe it? It's unbelievable. Dre on the YouTube says, why can't Capella play the four behind Jabari?
Because, well, I mean, he could in spots. Like I said earlier, if they're going to go with a defensive lineup, he can play the four if you want to go super big for a certain team that might have a big front line. Clint Capella is very limited offensively. Clint Capella is definitely not a face-up shooter. Clint Capella has very limited moves in the paint. He's the anti-Alpi in a lot of ways. He feasts off of easy baskets on alley-oops and putbacks and rebounds and things, but don't expect a lot of Clint Capella offensively.
No, I don't think he's a four. I mean, Clint Capella is like the prototypical center. Like, he's a rim protector. He's going to be in the dunk spot. And I really don't think that you can play Alpi – or I'm sorry, I don't think you can play Adams and Capella together. Like, you can get away playing Alpi and Adams at times and then go zone defense, because Alpi has the ability to, like, give him the ball 18 feet out, and then he can kind of create from there. So you can put Adams in the dunk spot. Like, Alpi can play the four offensively. That's mm-hmm. their double big. You can play Jabari at the four. You can't play Clint Capella and Steven Adams at the same time. No, I think Tari Eason's more of a backup four than Clint Capella is.
I think it would be an interesting proposition to see who has – better lateral quickness or worse lateral quickness in terms of Alpi and Clint Capella. I think Clint Capella is tall, but Clint Capella's ability to go side to side is not good.
No. I mean, he's a five.
Yeah.
He's a five. He and Adams cannot be on the floor together at the same time, in my opinion, because neither guy can play 15 feet away from the basket. 713-780-ESPN. Rocky says Alpi, Cam, and Jock Landale plus five first-round picks for Giannis. There's that that scuttlebutt we were talking about.
Yeah. And the thing is that there's conflicting reports. Chris Haynes is saying that Giannis was blindsided by the Dame cut.
Haynes has been missing nonstop. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. But the people, and I know some people there as well, but the people that are closest to the situation said Giannis was the one recruiting Turner to come to Milwaukee. Giannis got the deal done with Miles Turner to some degree to convince him to come play there. So if that's the case, and then I know he wants to play the game where he's tweeting out like, yeah, I'm 100% confused in what's going on. He's been in the loop on everything going on because now everybody's saying he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, it does feel like it's less likely today than it was 9 hours ago. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. Keith, what is up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love the offseason moves the Rockets have made, obviously, with DFS, Capella back, and KD. Interestingly, assuming OKC is the one seed, they're the defending champs. The Nuggets, who just won the title 2 years ago, I think they've done a lot of good things. First off, you know, today bringing in J.J. Barea as an assistant coach, getting Cam Johnson in there, who Jeremy's been a big fan of for a long time. And then you add in Bruce Brown, who was on the title team. And then also you trade a guy, Saric, who wasn't even playing, for a very serviceable veteran big man, Valanciunas. In a seven-game series right now, you take the Nuggets or the Rockets?
Rockets. I live in Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I think very kind of a little bit under the radar, because people were thinking that when some of the trade that they made, some of the moves they made, that they got worse. I think they got more versatility. I think they got better. I think Valanciunas is a huge get to kind of help out the Joker and give them an extra big that can actually, you know, really be physical down low. I've always been a fan of Cam Johnson. I know the Rockets were huge fans of Cam Johnson. If Cam Johnson, he's a better shooter than Michael Porter Jr. Is he more athletic? No, probably not. But I think he's a better defender. I think that a lot of teams actually went right at Michael Porter Jr. because they knew they could get buckets on him. I think Cam's a pretty good defender. So I think Denver has quietly had a good offseason so far.
Apparently, I'm a big fan of Cam Johnson.
I guess so. I didn't even know.
I didn't even know I was a huge fan of Cam Johnson. Keith knows me better than I know me. I didn't like that trade that Denver made, Porter for Johnson. Now, the shooting is an interesting point of view, and then, like, he's a better on-ball defender. Like, yep. I don't watch enough of Cam Johnson, Michael Porter, to really know that. The savings is what intrigues me, because Cam Johnson makes, like, $17 million less than Michael Porter.
And that allowed them to get Bruce Brown, mm-hmm. who they really like as kind of their Swiss Army knife. He's a tough defender. He really fit in there at the championship year. They wanted to get him back. They were able to get an extra player for their rotation, especially assuming they're probably not going to bring Russ back. So they get a guy like Bruce Brown that's been there, done that, can fit right back in with them. I think Valanciunas is the big move, though, because they got deeper and more physical up front, and they needed to do that.
Yeah, I didn't like the trade, but whenever you get the financial savings and then it opens up other players, it basically becomes Michael Porter, first rounder for Cam Johnson, plus the players that you were able to bring in because of the savings. It looks a lot better that way. Whenever I first saw it, like whenever Shams tweeted it out, I'm like, yeah, I don't like that. But then, oh, they added other pieces mm-hmm. because of the savings. Okay, and that makes a little bit more sense. 713-780-ESPN, softball mom Allison, Boy Meets World. She was answering the question, did you find Feeney?
The pronunciation, not yet.
He's too busy talking on his microphone, interrupting the talent, instead of finding something that was actually productive and helpful to the show. Be useful. That's what I tell Branham Baby. Because Branham Baby, sometimes he can be a little defiant. I don't know where he gets it from. He can be a little contrarian. No idea where he gets it from. I tell him, be helpful. Be helpful, Branham Baby. That's what I call him around the house. Branham Baby, be helpful. Brian, be helpful. Rocky, they 100% still have a chance at Giannis, and it comes out if he's mad about Dame being waived. Apparently, he orchestrated that, Rocky. He wanted mm-hmm. Dame gone. What's the dude's name, Jared Allen, they wanted to play with?
Miles Turner.
Miles Turner. I always confuse those two guys for some reason. Why do you think he wanted to play with Miles Turner so bad?
Because next year, Dame wasn't going to play anyway. And honestly, that has been a tough deal ever since Dame got there. Like, they've tried, and publicly, they tried to make it sound like it was all kumbaya, and they were on the same page. And I think that quietly behind the scenes, they were both frustrated with the other guy because both are ball dominant. Dame is a good shooter. Giannis is not, but Giannis is going to shoot anytime he feels like it. And I think that there was always some friction, and Dame never really fit in and felt like he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because he's going to miss all of next season, and then it's uncertain when he's going to be back after that, and because the pressure's on them that they have to do something to put some guys around Giannis so they at least have a chance to make the playoffs. So I think that was the move that they had to make. I was surprised that they went to that length.
Yeah, see, I'm not pushing back at all at the Dame thing. Like, I 100% believe you. But it feels like Giannis really wanted to play with Turner as well.
Yeah, because
in addition to that.
Well, part of that is because you lose Lopez. So you lose Brook Lopez, and Brook Lopez was a guy that Giannis liked to play with because he could stretch the floor, because he could make the three ball, and because he could play defense. Now you get essentially a younger version of Brook Lopez and cheaper that could, until Lopez signed this contract. You get a guy like Turner, he can make the three, he can play defense, and he's a little bit more active, you know, in between, whereas Brook Lopez was kind of, I mean, a mountain.
There was somebody who tweeted at Giannis that they needed to put Brook Lopez's number in the rafters in Milwaukee.
Oh, and he said 1,000,000% agree.
What? I mean, come on now. What is our standard? Texter, hey, guys, what was Capella's stats last year? I'm going to tell you what I tell blankers. Google. Can he stretch the floor? We can answer that. I'm not gonna do your research for you. But no, Clint Capella cannot stretch the floor. He's not a 3-point shooter. Yeah, he's gonna be in the dunk spot.
As much as we get frustrated with the 1-footed Alpi shots, Clint Capella shooting any kind of face up jump shot is something that is going to pain you to a severe level.
I felt bad for being mean to the texture, so I looked up Clint Capella's stats. Last year, he played 55 games, played in 41, averaged 21.5 minutes a game, averaged 9 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1 block a contest, and he took a grand total. Guess how many 3-pointers Clint Capella has taken in his career?
5.
Pretty close. He's taken 6. Whew. Guess how many 3-pointers Clint Capella has made in his career?
1.
None. 0-for-6 lifetime. Dude can't buy a 3. No, he's not a shooter. He's a prototypical 5. He's going to be in the dunk spot. He's going to protect the rim. He's going to set mean screens, and they really want him to offensive rebound. I saw somebody, I can't remember who tweeted it. It was like one of those NBA stat accounts. It wasn't like a real person. It was like one of those stat accounts. And they said that they think, based on Clint Capella's offensive rebounding stats, that they think that the Houston Rockets feel that there is a there's a weakness in the market of attacking good offensive rebounders. And then they compared Clint Capella's offensive rebounds per possession, all these, you know, advanced stats, to Steven Adams' offensive rebounds per possession. They're like dead even. So they think there's a market inefficiency in the NBA right now in devaluing good offensive rebounds, and they feel that Rafael Stone, because of Adams, because of Clint Capella, is trying to strike where they think there's a market inefficiency.
Well, look, and I think that makes sense, along with the fact that when Udoka was in Boston, he really wants to have an active center that can finish on the break, that can be athletic enough to block shots and then still grab some rebounds. And I think that Clint Capella fits the bill perfectly. If they couldn't, they wanted to get, the rumor was they were trying to get Robert Williams from Portland last season because he played for Ime in Boston. He doesn't get him, but he gets the prototypical Robert Williams guy for exactly what he wants to do.
Texture, fee, he, henny.
Phoenix.
It's a little different. That's not
that was a second.
Ooh, that was a new one.
There we go. New drop for you, Brian. We don't need all the extra stuff. Just maybe the fee, he, henny. Dorian, fee, he, henny
Smith.
And then
if he goes by Doe, you just get Homer Simpson.
That's better than DFS.
Doe.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Kelly Eco covers the NBA, covers the Rockets for The Athletic. He's easily the best writer for The Athletic in this city, without a shadow of a doubt. We'll talk NBA free agency, Rockets free agency with Kelly Eco, the best City of Houston athletic writer that has ever existed. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Let's hydrate. Grab a Rambler's. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&B guest line. It's Branham and Blank. Joining us now, Kelly Eco. Kelly Eco covers the Houston Rockets, covers the NBA for The Athletic. Best athletic writer in the city of Houston. Kelly, a lot going on with the Rockets. We haven't had a chance to talk to you in a little bit. So I'm going to go item by item with you for the first one. Kevin Durant, what do you make of that trade? What does he add to the Rockets? And then how serious of a contender are the Rockets with the addition of Kevin Durant?
I think anytime you add a player of Kevin's magnitude, you are instantly thrusting yourself into the championship conversation. I think adding Durant to a top five defense, or what was a top five defense last season, automatically puts them, you know, as a serious contender. I think he solves a lot of issues that their offense ran into last season. You know, the lack of a go-to score, the lack of an alpha in terms of an offensive engine, you know, just spacing issues, isolation issues, and just it forces a coaching staff to kind of rewire how they approach, you know, X's and O's. So I do think that now that we've seen additional moves that they've made, I do think that they've gotten a lot better in the last couple of days.
Kelly, I'm curious. We were just talking about it here, but we expected, and you were the obviously on top of it with the Dorian Finney-Smith, and that he was probably going to be a guy, if not a guy like him, to be added. But how blindsided were you on Clint Capela? Because I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, the Clint was a surprise. You know, I mean, I do understand it, I guess, from the standpoint of if you're probably going to move on from Jock Landale, you do need a third big, and Clint is someone who's been here before. You know, he's been a Rocket for a while, and the familiarity is there. But yeah, I think that I didn't see that one coming at all. So I honestly think, you know, you might not have been their first choice, or, you know, but I do think that he's still a quality big in terms of what he can bring. You know, either if he's, you know, spotting minutes here and there or being a backup, you know, I think he adds value at that position. And I think when you're the Rockets trying to beef up your front line, you want to have as many bodies as possible. So if there's going to be a use for him, then I think he can provide an impact.
What does Dorian Finney-Smith bring to the Rockets?
I think he's bring additional tenacity. He's a hell of a shooter. He shot 41% from three last season. He's a good floor spacer. He's somebody that can protect the rim at times. He can switch out on the perimeter. He can toggle different positions. He can play small ball five. He can play as a four. He can play as a three. It just gives the Rockets more optionality. And I think at that position or positions, you want to have guys that are true two-way players in terms of being able to provide floor spacing for the likes of Amen Thompson, Fred VanVleet, Alperen Şengün, while also remaining a solid defensive team. And I think with that experience that he's bringing at that age, I think it's a hand-in-glove fit for sure.
I mean, Kelly, looking at this team, this is seemingly what Ime had envisioned when they said taking it to that next phase. And the one thing, if I'm going to nitpick all the great things that they've already done, if you look at the roster, is they could, if they did anything, they could use some shooting. Is it still a possibility that they look to add a shooter or a guy that could play that role if need be?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll still look around. Obviously, as it currently stands, their cap situation is quite tight. They're hard capped at the first apron, so they would have to, you know, move on from players like Jock, potentially Cam Whitmore, if you wanted to add another shooter at the minimum. But, you know, this is a team that's always going to look, they're always going to try and get creative and find ways to, you know, make this roster as deep as possible because, you know, given the parity of the NBA that the league is in, you know, there's no telling what can happen. We just saw Indiana get dismantled in the span of 2 weeks. You know, Tyrese Halliburton, you know, unfortunately tearing his Achilles and then Miles Turner leaving. So it's like, and they were just in the finals. So if you're an NBA team trying to be aggressive, you know, you have to put yourselves in the best position to strike, you know, when the iron is hot. And I think, you know, by having all these moves on the table, if you were to go find another shooter at the minimum or here and there, you just give yourself a better chance at contending now.
Kelly Eco joining us on the HR&P guest line, writer for The Athletic, covers the NBA, of course, covers the Rockets as well. I liked the video that you posted today, Kelly. I was checking it out, how the Rockets have to kind of go with a, you know, a software update with Kevin Durant's addition.
Right.
You also
right.
reported earlier today, too, that the Rockets are shopping Cam Whitmore. What is the value for him on the market, do you think?
I think it's high. I think... You know, the Cam situation is tricky because, you know, in a vacuum, the Rockets want to hold on to him. He's a talented young player. He's someone that they sought after coming out of Villanova. You know, but when you look at what he's had to endure in terms of being at the end of the rotation, playing spot minutes here and there, it's not a happy situation to be in, right? And the Rockets have been in the business of, you know, if players aren't happy, you know, they're frustrated or what have you, they'll work with you. Now, it's not saying that they're going to take a bad deal because he's still viewed as a highly talented young player. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out you know, over the last two seasons. But, you know, this is a guy that I think can still add value to the Rockets if things were to work out. But I just don't know if that's, you know, the reality at this point.
Kyle, you look at the West, and as much as it kind of got balanced in the last couple of years with Boston and some of the good teams in the East, but every Western Conference team seems to be loading up. It seems like the West is going to be back to being a gauntlet. The Clippers have gotten better. Dallas has gotten better. Spurs are still trying to get better. But then, and you know, the Lakers are still trying to find a big man. But it seems like as much as the Rockets have clearly moved in to be the top of the list as competition to OKC, Denver got better. Right. It just seems like the West is going to be unbelievable next year.
Yeah, and that goes back to, you know, the earlier thing about parity. You know, teams, there have been, what, seven different champions in the last 7 years. So it's the new reality that there is no dynasty, right? Obviously, teams are going to look at the Thunder, you know, winning 68 games and winning it all and view that as a potential repeat champion. But as far as everyone else goes, it's a level playing field. So you understand why, if you're in the West, if you are Denver, who took the Thunder to seven games, you feel pretty confident about your chances. If you're, you know, a team like even Memphis or you know, the Clippers, you know, if you're, as long as you made the playoffs last season, you're feeling pretty good about your future prospects. And it's all about how do you strengthen, you know, in your deficiency. So I do understand why a lot of these Western Conference teams are loading up.
Kel, before we let you go, just curious about the fact that, you know, Rafael Stone went from an inexperienced general manager, his first time ever in this position. Right. It almost makes me chuckle that Daryl Morey was, you know, the mentor to Rafael. Right. And it looks like Rafael has clearly surpassed Daryl Morey in terms of, like, how to rebuild and put a team on the map with what Daryl's got in Philadelphia. He's got to be getting his flowers league-wide right now for what he's been able to do.
I think so. I think, you know, in the early days of free agency, they've been the clear winners in terms of how aggressive they've been, how quickly they've done their business, and not only that, the financial flexibility of the deals that they've done. So I do think that if you're looking at what Stone has accomplished so far, it's hard to not give him, you know, a stellar job. He's put them in a position where they've accumulated draft assets over the years. They've maintained cap flexibility. They have the assets to strike when the iron is hot, and that seems to be right now at this moment. So now you add a future Hall of Famer, you add, you know, you keep your head coach long term, you add another trusted 3-and-D guy, you add a veteran experience big, and you maintain your young core, the majority of your young core. I think that's a win for them. So yeah, kudos to Rafael Stone and the front office, you know, Patrick Petitin and the ownership group there in terms of being able to identify what steps they needed to take to fortify this group for the next few years to come.
Kelly, great work with NBA free agency. Still plenty to get to, and we'll follow the work as you provide it. Really enjoy it.
Thank you.
You got it. Kelly Eco.
Thanks, Kel.
Writer for The Athletic, covers the NBA, covers the Houston Rockets as well. About as good as it gets in the business. I like his video breakdowns that he does, too. He does little X's and O's from time to time. Really enjoyed the one he had in Kevin Durant today. About 2.5 minutes kind of showed Kevin Durant and certain offensive situations he thinks that Kevin Durant's going to excel in Houston. So really good work from Kelly Eco. That texter earlier that asked for Capella stats, he said, thank you for the stats. I am mowing the yard. Flex. Mowing the yard on a Tuesday.
Toasty.
At 3:30. I mowed today, actually, before I had to. It had gotten a little bit high. I don't mind the heat if I embrace the heat.
Did it rain?
Today?
Yeah.
No,
so
not
we got
my neck
some
of the
rain,
woods.
But otherwise, and that cooled it off for a
Did
little
it?
Bit. Yeah.
No, it was pretty warm. I actually don't mind the heat. I mean, I was built for the heat. I don't mind the heat if I know I'm going to be out there for a while. Like if I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be out there for 3 hours, 2 hours. I'm just going to embrace. Like I can go golf in 100-degree weather, no problem.
Yeah, easy.
But it's like, okay, I know I'm going to be out there. My annoyance is whenever I go from like the door to the car. Like that's where I'm annoyed.
Take the trash out. You come back and you blew another shirt.
It's like, man, I got to shout. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Like if I'm committed to being outside, no problem. Whenever I don't need a shower, like, oh, I have to take the trash out, I come back in, I'm covered in sweat, I need another shower now, that annoys me.
Yeah.
That's where I get triggered.
No question about it. Like, I just set myself up, like, every morning when I walk my dogs, no matter how early it is, I know by the time I get home, I'm going to need a shower because it's just – it's annoying, but it's hot even at 6 a.m.
You've committed to it. Once you've committed – the it's not the heat. It's the
– humidity.
It's the humidity, but it's also the like – it's the annoyance of having to shower again, quite frankly. Like, that's the annoyance, I think. All right, let's get to our Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Bees on a Tuesday? 713-780-3776. Your question for the Bees. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, what's your question for the Bees on a Monday or a Tuesday?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, real quick, Jeremy, you were talking to B-Mac like you were The Rock and he was Stephanie McMahon in that one promo they had. But my question...
He didn't use the same language as The Rock.
Hey, but my question real quick, who has the best fast food tacos? And for you, Jeremy, I know you're a UFC guy. What do you think about that Ilia Topuria knockout? Thank you. Have a great day.
It was sick. I saw these. They're going to have a reality show on that guy. My hang up with the UFC right now, I enjoy watching the fights when I can. They don't have megastars like they used to. It's harder to sell for the UFC right now. Like, you used to, I mean, John Jones retired, but he hadn't been... I mean, he's relevant, always relevant, but he hasn't been in his like peak stardom for 5 years minimum.
Used to have
McGregor,
Rousey, George McGregor.
Who is your favorite fighter, Brian?
You're gonna
say it doesn't matter who your favorite fighter was, Brian.
That's why I said I was. Yeah, okay, I knew what was coming.
No,
well
but
done.
That dude,
like Chris Jericho.
That dude is. I mean, that dude is legit. But favorite fast food taco. Mine's Dairy Queen.
That's probably I've never had that, but you said the kitchen's been upgraded at Dairy Queen.
I don't know.
I think, I don't know, man. You know what? Everybody's go-to is Jack in the Box tacos at 2 a.m., but I don't think that makes it a great taco if you're not partaking in beverages.
Those are mid. They're just kind of like party taco.
Right,
whenever. Taco Bell has some decent tacos. Like I don't hate the little, what is it, the Dos Loco taco? Dos Loco. What's it called?
We go to Taco Bell.
No,
it's the one with the nacho cheese shell.
The Gordita Crunch?
It has the Doritos nacho cheese shell.
It's not the Loco.
That is. That one's okay. With the nacho cheese Dorito shell, like that one's okay for a fast food taco. Taco Cabana's not awful. You know what's
underrated? About to ask you if that counted, because to me,
I think it's fast.
I like Taco Cabana. And I actually like, in a pinch, their quesadillas, because it comes in a little mini pizza box and they do it.
Yeah.
Right. Is Chachi's fast food?
I don't know. Chachi's
pile on nachos at 11 p.m. go hard. You've never been to the Chachi's?
No.
There's one on 45.
I don't think I've seen it.
North. Their lights flicker.
Is that the one that sign has sign? Like their a lights, rainbow of color in the Chachi's?
Yes. There's one over there on like near NRG too.
There's one off of 59. Kind of on the way out to Sugar Land as well.
Yeah, the Chachi sign has been, it's not doing that on purpose. It's been flickering for 5 years, and it's like you can see it 5 miles away. You can see
maybe
the flickering lights scheme. 5 miles away.
And the background behind their sign, it looks like they've started to repaint and they didn't finish. There's like a big blue kind of like, it looks like they started rolling paint and didn't finish it at all the locations. I always look at it and go, are they going to finish that? But I think that's their thing.
If you want to eat very poorly, but be happy. A pile on beef fajita nachos at Chachi's ain't bad. Somebody said Burger King tacos. I used to like Burger King tacos. I can't find a Burger King that still has tacos. Burger King tacos are surprisingly not bad. Sonic used to do tacos that surprisingly weren't bad. Yeah, they did. I haven't seen a Burger King with tacos in quite some time, and I've looked. Oh, Chachos, not Chachi's. Whatever. I got a vowel off. Chachos, pile on nachos, baby. Ain't bad. Torchy's Tacos. I wouldn't call it Torchy's fast food.
That's not fast food.
I would say that's fast casual.
Fast casual.
Yeah, if it doesn't have a drive-thru, it can't be fast food.
Bucky's does some decent burritos. Breakfast burritos.
Haven't had them.
They're not bad.
I usually go with the kolaches there.
Chacho's on 45 used to be a Casa Olay. Olay today. Hey, I didn't know that. 713-780-ESP. Yeah, Chachos. My bad. Not Chachis. I'm not going there to like for an English lesson. I'm not going there for what are the vowels in the alphabet. I'm going there for some pile-on fajita nachos, baby. Chachis, Chachos, just give me the pile-on nachos. Nachos, not cheese, don't care.
No, but you don't want not cheese. You want cheese.
Taco Del Rey. I don't know if I've had Taco Del Rey. Dairy Queen tacos are goat. I mean, Dairy Queen tacos, you would be surprised, pleasantly surprised. Question for the B, 713-780-3776. Texture says that there's too many UFC events. That's why there's no stars. I think there's something to that. I also think that the competition's so strong, it's hard to develop stars now. Like, it's hard to run the gauntlet of, like, going undefeated for 30 fights in a row because it is the sport is as competitive as ever.
But you guys know I'm a casual when it comes to UFC, but I used to know the names. I used to know the key biggest names in the sport to go see. I don't know anybody in UFC anymore. I mean, I'll watch it if it's on, and I'll flip channels, and I'll see highlights. I don't know any of the fighters like I used to.
What's the best side dish at any restaurant in Houston, Jaybird?
Ooh.
Who's a sponsor? Who's our next sponsor that we're going to see in the commercials here?
Landry's.
Cactus Jack's.
Bang, dang. They had some good food.
Cactus Jack's has got really good food.
They had really good food, Cactus
Jack's.
Yeah,
I had the mashed potatoes I had alongside my chicken fried steak were phenomenal.
Best side dish? Man, that's a hard question.
Chicken Anthony's.
So many good side
their mashed
dishes.
Potatoes and their mac and cheese are really good. And I would say, kind of like we were just talking about, I would say kind of like casual, but I love the queso at Papacito.
Is that a side dish?
It's more of an appetizer.
Okay, fair.
I see, that's too broad of a question for me. Like, my ADHD starts kicking in whenever you're like, in the entire city, what's the best side dish? That's hard. Because, I mean, you go to any barbecue spots, there's some really good side dishes.
I was thinking about maybe...
Steakhouses, great mashed potatoes, great baked potatoes.
Yeah, maybe the mac and cheese at Killen's. It's pretty good.
I'm not sure I've had the mac and cheese at Killen's.
But it feels like I can't go mac and cheese as the best side dish in the city.
I don't love mac and cheese at barbecue places, hot take. I feel like it's too filling,
I like steakhouses.
Yeah, see, even then, like I feel like it's too filling.
Well, but like, you know, True Lux used to do the all-you-can-eat stone crab, but then they'd give you unlimited free sides because that's exactly what they're hoping to do. Instead of load up on the stone crab, you get the mac and cheese, the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. I need to know where I'm going. Like, you give me great French fries as great sides, you know?
Let me ask if this counts.
There's some good Mexican places with great rice and beans.
You know, the Brazilian steakhouse, like Fogo de Chão or anything like that, the little...
breads?
Yes. Would that count, or is that more...
a side dish.
Okay. Because that would be my answer.
It's more of an appetizer, Brian.
I don't even know if that's an appetizer.
No, it's not. It's just an actually...
They just bring it out.
I don't even know what I would call that.
It's not even a condiment, but it's like, hey...
Starter?
So that you leave full no matter
what. Starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want you to fill up so you eat less of the meat.
What it is propaganda.
But they also want you happy when you leave that you're full instead of saying, I didn't get enough food.
Ocho, have you watched the Poop Cruise documentary and were you as grossed out as I was watching it? I'm not sure I want to watch that one.
I've heard enough to know it doesn't sound great.
That's not why. I'm unsure I want to watch
it. They're not going to show actual poop.
Yeah, it's just the
concept.
They're
talking about it.
Okay.
Plus, I liked my time on a cruise. I don't want to see this and ruin the idea of a cruise.
You don't want to see how the hot dog was made.
Yeah.
I get it.
The hot dog.
You really don't.
Yeah, like, you know, you don't want to, you just, that's, you haven't heard that saying?
I've heard it as sausage.
Well, okay, sausage, hot dog, whatever.
Would you rather have a 75% chance at a ring? Hold on. Would you rather have a 75% chance at one ring or 20% chance at three rings or a three-ring run?
I'll take 70% chance at
Same.
One ring.
Yeah, just give me the 75% chance.
Yeah.
Chris from the Woodlands, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I always wondered why MLB stadiums aren't built the same. It's kind of weird for every venue to not have the same competitive playing field. Blah, 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 blah.
I think from a standpoint that every stadium and every city has character. They want to have some character, and you see it between Fenway's Green Monster and the Dyke with their manual scoreboard and the Crawford boxes. Yankees have Monument Park and all different things that go along with it. And I think that, you know, baseball's not going to sit there and make it a cookie cutter. There's a lot of character in the way that, and a lot of old stadiums, they weren't going to change too, like Wrigley and the Ivy and the brick wall.
I think it started off basically by the land that they had back in the day. Like, you were, like, you had a field. Like, it wasn't this cookie cutter field. Like, who was the team that played at the Polo Grounds? It was the Giants.
The Giants
had to play at the Polo Grounds. Like, you kind of had to be creative on how you wanted a park. And then it became like, okay, that's synonymous with the team. That's synonymous with the players there. Like, the short porch and ride at Yankee Stadium. Great for Ruth. Great for Gehrig. So I think it started off because of that. And then it became like a personality thing. Like, we're going to do this because it's, you know, attractive to our park. San Francisco, whenever they built their new stadium, they had the short right field.
It's gorgeous,
for Bonds.
Too.
So, like,
beautiful.
That's I think the genesis of it, and like just in the way that it's evolved over the course of 100 years now. I think it's just the character of the game.
And the other thing is, you tailor make it for your team. If you've got a power hitting team, you can adjust the fences accordingly. It's the same way like how they cut the infield. If you know, if you've got a fast team as opposed to a slow team, how you cut the grass and how long it is, and all those things are just, you tailor make it to the roster that you have too.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's carry this over. There's a lot of questions coming in on the mailbag right now. And look, we do what you want us to do. We're just puppets for you, the Hive. And right now, the Hive is telling us we got more questions for you guys. So more mailbag Monday on a Tuesday. Your questions for the Bees next. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.